Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Hallelujah. It is wonderful to be here this morning. It's been wonderful to be here all weekend. When we come here, it's like coming home. Hallelujah. And it's amazing. The church continues to grow, new families, new life, new things happening all the time in the church. So every time we come here, even though it's like coming home to new relatives you never met before. Hallelujah. And isn't that amazing, though, about God, that there's always new people, new brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's always new relationships that are being established. There's always new connections that he's bringing in. And it's just absolutely tremendous. And so we've had a wonderful, wonderful time here this weekend. I want to mention something real quickly. We do have a few resources out on the back table on the way out of the church. I've written a ton of books over the past year, 10 books last year. And there'll be two books being released by the end of this month, two more new books being released by the end of this month. I've got a book called 31 Days to a Breakthrough Prayer Life. It's amazing. The Lord spoke to me about 2012, said that this year was going to be a year when there was going to be a massive prayer movement, but it was going to happen in the Spirit. It was going to start in the Spirit, remain in the Spirit. It wasn't going to be something that was organized or something that was pre-planned, but it was literally, it had to do with communication lines of heaven opening up, not that they've been closed, but suddenly the revelation clicking in the hearts of God's people to understand what true prayer is, that is just the communication with God, speaking to him, hearing his voice, back and forth communication. You know, when you begin to speak to God, you'll do more stuff, you'll be more successful, you'll be more productive with what God's given to you, because when you hear his voice, he always speaks in order to bless you, to direct you, to guide you, to lead you. He always wants to get a blessing to you. God's not trying to take things from you. God's trying to get things to you. Hallelujah. But the biggest thing is, you know, the Bible says that people perish for lack of knowledge. And the thing is, you know, the enemy tries to block revelation. The enemy tries to block your hearing or your perceiving or your receiving. But in this day, there is an opening that's coming for the body of Christ, where you begin to hear, you begin to know, you begin to communicate, and you begin to enter into extreme realms of prayer with God, where God begins to do tremendous things and brings you into the breakthrough. Hallelujah. How many want that kind of breakthrough prayer? Amen? Okay, so I've got a wonderful book. It's called 31 Days to a Breakthrough Prayer Life. Who would like this right now? Okay, brother right there. God bless you. I want to sow that into your life as a seed for harvest. Hallelujah. Okay, I've got another book. It's called 31 Days of Health, Wealth, and Happiness. Who thinks that sounds good? That's not bad. Health, wealth, and happiness. Religious devils hate it. They hate it. They get riled up about it and get their shorts in a knot all about it. But all throughout the scriptures, I see that God wants to give his people divine health. God wants to bring his people into divine prosperity, supernatural wealth. And God wants his people to be happy. Hallelujah. That's just God. He loves making people happy, okay? And so I encourage you to get a copy of this book. The 31-day books are wonderful. If I do say so myself, the series is absolutely tremendous because it has blessed people, because one day at a time, they're able to just focus very simply on a revelation, on a scripture, and then in this book, there's an activation for every single day to move into the things of God. And it's been, this book was endorsed, the foreword was written by Dr. Mark Sharona, and it was endorsed by Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Kelly Copeland wrote an endorsement. Robert and Christian Harfouch wrote an endorsement. Cal Pierce of the Healing Rooms wrote an endorsement for this book. They believe in the message and what God is doing. And so who would like this book? Let's see here. Bonnie, I want to give this to you. God bless you. It's good to see so many familiar faces. Love it. people that we love and we don't get to see all that often. Oh my gosh, Mary, I can't believe you're getting married. This is amazing. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. All the changes that happen are, you know, sometimes in the midst of the change and in the midst of the shift, it's a little bit uncomfortable because it's new territory, it's new realms, you're experiencing new things. But it's when it's God doing it, it is wonder-filled, absolutely wonder-filled. I've got a book called Atmosphere, and it's all about creating a realm for miracles and success. And the Lord, actually, I was in Houston, Texas a year ago, January, and as I was preparing for my School of Miracles there in Houston, the Lord downloaded revelation about atmosphere, and I just started writing, and within a weekend, I wrote this book, Atmosphere, Creating a Miracles, Creating a Realm for Miracles and Success in Your Life. And I began writing down revelation that I've been studying, things that the Lord had showed me over the years, creating, building a realm for the glory to move into our homes, into our businesses, into our workplaces, into our churches, into our ministries, building a realm for the cloud of glory to flourish. You know, the Bible talks about the trumpeters and the psalmists and the singers and the different ones that were gathered of Solomon's temple. You remember that? And the Bible says that as they joined together in one voice, that in the midst of the corporate praise, in the midst of the corporate corporate worship, that a cloud of glory literally descended in their midst to such a degree that the priest could not perform the regular service. The priest could not do what they had always done. And you know, it's a form of insanity to keep on doing the same thing and expect a different result. God wants us to enter into realms of praise and worship where we begin to release the glory or create a cloud of glory in our spheres of influence, in the places where he's put us, in order that we begin to enter into new things that will stop doing the old, unfruitful, useless things of the past, and that will enter into the fruitfulness of his Spirit. Hallelujah. And so I really encourage you to get a copy of this book, Atmosphere. And I want to read you something in it. I have a whole chapter about colors. And it's because the whole book is dealing with spirit, soul, and body. All the aspects, you know, God created your spirit. Obviously, we understand we're spirit people first. And then we're spirits that have a soul, mind, will, emotions. And we're housed inside an earth suit, which is our body. But God created our spirit. God created our soul. And God created our bodies. And God wants to, you know, God has different ways to communicate to every area of who we are and to deal with every area of who we are. And in the realm of the soul, you know, colors affect you. Natural colors, they affect you. And in the Old Testament, the significant color of the stones on the priest's breastplate were symbolic of the colors around God's heavenly throne and also represented the colors of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's Exodus 28, verses 17 to 21. We can see beautiful colors displayed once again through the jewels in the foundation walls of the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21. Colors are important to God and display characteristics of his beauty. Now, when I was studying over the past 5 years about colors, and see, because the Lord had spoken to me about colors in worship, even as we begin to praise and worship him, that there's colors that are released in the midst of our praise, in the midst of our worship. There's colors being released in the atmosphere, that there are colors in heaven that we have not even seen on the earth. I began to do a study about colors. I found a lot of amazing things. I want to read about pink. I like this one. Pink is a happy, lively, and joyful color that encourages friendliness and discourages aggression. This is why some sports teams choose to use pink to color the locker rooms used by the opposing teams, as it has a tranquilizing effect. It is also sometimes used in prison cells to calm inmates. Some studies suggest that male weightlifters lose up to one-third of their strength while exercising in a pink room, while the performance of female weightlifters improves. Scientific studies have also shown that the color pink makes people crave sugar. So this is why many donuts and pastries are often packaged in pink boxes. Green. Let me read you about green. Maybe you like this one better. Green is interesting. Green is a cool color that contains soothing and calming qualities that help aid in the healing process. This is why it is often worn in operating rooms by surgeons and sometimes the color of choice on hospital walls. It has been reported that people that work in a green environment experience fewer stomach aches. Interesting. Researchers have also discovered that the color green can improve reading ability. According to some studies, students may find that laying a transparent sheet of green paper over reading material increases reading speed and comprehension. Okay. Maybe you like yellow. You like yellow? You like red? Purple? Blue? Orange? Okay, buy the book. Yeah, you can get the book. Mary, I want to bless you with this. God bless you and your husband-to-be. God bless you both. Hallelujah. Okay, open up your Bible with me this morning. We're going to go to Luke 5. I believe God loves to do miracles. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that know about God, but there's less people that know God and know His power. And you know, God wants His church to be those that move in power, those that move in miracles. You know, quoting scripture to somebody who doesn't believe the Bible is most often just as good as offering a hamburger to a Hindu. People want the reality of the word. People want the power that comes from the truth. Hallelujah. And I want to read you this encounter here in Mark 5. It sounds like there's a little bit of an echo on my microphone. Where did I tell you to turn? Yeah, that's where we're going. I turned to Mark 5 in my Bibles. Okay, we're going to Luke. That's where we're going. Luke 5. It says here in Luke 5, verse 17, now it happened on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law that were sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, this is speaking about an atmosphere for miracles, an atmosphere of healing that was present as Jesus was teaching. There was a, you know, Pharisees, teachers, there was doubters, there were skeptics, there was unbelievers. But as Jesus was teaching the word, there was an atmosphere that was being created. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd. Isn't that pretty amazing? Jesus was teaching and he was drawing a crowd. I mean, he was drawing everybody. There was believers, but there was unbelievers that were coming. In the midst of what Jesus was teaching, there was an atmosphere that he was creating with his words. He was creating an atmosphere for miracles, creating an atmosphere for healing. There was such an atmosphere that was being created that the crowds were coming in, that people that were sick were hearing about it and wanting to be brought, and these people wanted to bring the paralyzed man into the home, and there was no way for them to get into the home because there was an atmosphere for miracles. The power of God will always create an atmosphere of expectation. The power of God will create an atmosphere, an atmosphere where people will want to join in and be a part of it. The power of God releases the possibilities for the things that the world has said are impossible to become possible in our day. God desires to release an atmosphere of miracles in our churches. God desires to release an atmosphere of miracles in our homes. God desires to release an atmosphere of miracles in our workplaces, in our businesses, everywhere we go. God desires to release an atmosphere for miracles. Somebody say, I want to be an atmosphere. Atmospheres aren't just what you create. You can become the atmosphere. Hallelujah. You can carry an atmosphere everywhere you go. You can carry an atmosphere of miracles, an atmosphere of healing wherever you go, that if there's somebody that's sick, you can become the connection, the divine connection that they're looking for. You can become the answer for somebody's prayer. You can become the solution to somebody's problem. You can become the atmosphere. Now, Jesus was an atmosphere, and he released an atmosphere. And the Bible says that they were trying to bring the paralyzed man into this place where Jesus was because they discerned, they perceived that there was healing in this place. If they could only bring the paralyzed man to Jesus, this man wouldn't be paralyzed any longer. But it says that as they came to the house, they found that they could not bring him in because of the crowd. And so did they just go away and say, oh, well, maybe we'll come back next week. Or maybe next time Jesus is in town, you know, it's a little bit inconvenient. So maybe next time Jesus is in town, we'll swing by for a bit. You know, we've seen Jesus before. Maybe we'll just do it next time. The Bible says that these people had faith that was so persistent that when they saw that there was no way in the front door, and when they saw that there was no door for them to get in at all, that they thought, there must be somehow we can still get in. There must be some way for us to reach into that atmosphere. There's got to be some way we can receive what Jesus had. Everybody else is receiving a touch. Everybody else is getting miracles. Today is our day for a miracle. In the realm of the Spirit, you have to be persistent. In the realm of the Spirit, you have to pursue the things of God. In the realm of the Spirit, you have to push through when everybody else is trying to push you out. My God, you got to get some faith and say, I'm going in, whether it costs me my life. I'm going in. It doesn't matter if it feels uncomfortable. I'm going all the way in. I'm pushing in. Hallelujah. Well, you can't get in the front door. Well, then there must be another door. No, there's no other door. So what did they do? It says they went up on the housetop. They went up on the roof. And they let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. This is people that had so much faith. I don't know what you think about these people. But if Jesus was in your home, ministering, and the home was so filled, and people were lined all the way down the street, what would you think when all of a sudden your roof starts caving in? You might scold the people for cutting a hole in your roof. You might scold the people for being so rude or impolite. You might scold the people for pushing their way in. But you know, there's something about persistent faith. When you have faith that believes that Jesus is who he said that he is, that he will do everything he said he will do, when you understand there is an atmosphere for miracles that's available for you, then there is nothing that's going to keep you out. And the Bible says that these people had such faith that they went up on the housetop and they actually ripped a hole in the roof, removed the tiles, and lowered the paralyzed man down before Jesus. That was very strange. Very strange. Someone say that's strange. Said they lowered him down into the midst before Jesus. And in verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they got their shorts in a knot, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies, who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus perceived their thoughts. He operated in the word of knowledge. And he answered and he said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. In verse 25, immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. How many think this is an amazing miracle? You're talking about a man that was paralyzed. He was paralyzed. He couldn't move. He had to rely on his friends to lift him up to, I mean, he had been through a lot of stuff to get up on that roof and down through the roof. But he got up off of his bed and he was completely 100% healed. And it says that they were all amazed. Everybody that was there, they were all amazed and they glorified God and they were filled with fear saying this, "We have seen strange things today." There's some people that have heard about things that have happened at this church. And they say this, they say, "I think it's strange." There's some people who have heard about things that have happened to Janet, Angela, and I. And they say, I don't know. I don't know about the Mills. I think it's strange. I don't really worry about it much. Because when people saw the things that Jesus did, and when they were in the atmosphere of his power, and they were in the atmosphere of his glory, and they were in the atmosphere of his healing ability, when they were in the atmosphere of signs and wonders, people said the same thing. They said, "We have seen strange things today." God uses strange things to connect people to the divine supernatural realm. God always uses strange things to connect people with the possibilities of heaven. God always takes something strange in order to bring something that will assist your life, bless your life, cause you to succeed, and cause you to enter into a greater place of living. Several years ago, I was up in the Arctic. I was ministering in I think it was Coral Harbor. And I sat down with a pastor friend of mine. Her name was Annie Turkdeluk. And we were sharing one afternoon about different testimonies. And she began sharing a testimony with me about some of the Inuit people. I love the Inuit people. We've been up north so many times, seeing God give people gold, silver teeth, where there was no gold and silver in their mouth before. We've seen God straighten out teeth. They were in need of a dentist and dental work. Well, Dr. Jesus shows up and he straightens out teeth. He whitens teeth. We were in New Zealand one time and a woman began to smell the smell of toothpaste, the fragrance of toothpaste in the atmosphere. And she went back to her room and noticed that God had completely whitened all of her teeth. Hallelujah. But we've seen that teeth whitening many, many times in the Arctic, never with the fragrance of toothpaste, but the teeth whitening comes and the teeth straightening and brand new teeth and gold and silver teeth and all these wonderful miracles. And that afternoon, as I was sitting with Pastor Annie Turkdeluk, she began sharing a testimony with me. She said that there was a woman who she knew that had gone out onto the water and gone fishing one day. And normally you go out with more than one person, but this lady went out by herself, just took the boat and went. And so she went out into the water and she was fishing and God was really blessing her real good. And when she was coming to pull in a really big fish that she had caught, she leaned over the boat. And as she leaned over the boat to pull in her fish, the sunglasses fell off the top of her head into the water. Now you might think, well, that's no big deal. Sunglasses fall into the water. Okay, well, when she comes back home, she'll just get another pair of sunglasses. Well, in that time in the Arctic, because it was the middle of summer, there was so much sun, and the reflection on the water without the sunglasses would literally cause you to lose direction, your sense of direction, where you're going. And if you know anything about the Arctic, it happens all the time up there where people are continually getting lost. Any little altercation in the weather, if they're out on the land and there's a lot of snow and it's really bright, it's very easy to get turned around and just end up out in the snow and die on your snowmobile. Or if you're out on the water, there's a lot of sun, you just can't tell where you're going. You just end up out in the water and you end up dying out there. And so this is really a life-threatening situation, losing her sunglasses off of her head. But she wasn't worried about it. She had been in the meeting. She had been encouraged to have a miracle mindset. And so she just continued to fish. God was really blessing her. She was pulling in more fish. And Annie Turkdeluk told me this, that at the end of the day, when she was about to come back home, she had had enough fish and she had caught enough. This woman pulled in another fish. And when she pulled up this fish came up wearing a pair of sunglasses. And the amazing thing is the sunglasses on this fish were not the one she lost. It was a better pair of sunglasses. That is strange. That is a strange thing. God chooses to use strange things to connect us to the divine supernatural. I tell you, that lady, she began praising the Lord, thanking the Lord. She began to give worship to the Lord. Why? Because God provided a miracle for her need. It came in the most unusual way. Came in the most unexpected way. But look at this. Look at Matthew 17, verse 27. You begin to read in Matthew 17 about taxes that need to be paid. And Jesus gave the instruction, said, go down the first fish that you catch. You're going to pull it up. And there's going to be your temple tax in there. Enough for you. Enough for two to pay the taxes. Pull out a golden coin, a silver coin. Pull out money out of that fish's mouth. God chooses to use strange things. Hallelujah. Some of you might go fishing next summer, expecting some sunglasses or some money. Hallelujah. Who knows what God could do for you? Hallelujah. There are no limitations in the realm of the Spirit. There's no limitations in the realm of God. Hallelujah. About 2 years ago, Janet Ange and I, we were ministering in Tampa, Florida. And we were hosting an Intensified Glory Institute. It was a three-day program that we're hosting, a spiritual training seminar that we're hosting in Tampa. And during that time, Janet had been dealing with a sickness in her body. It was, you know, the winter stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The winter stuff? Just the congestion in your chest and the groggy feeling and all this kind of stuff. Do you want to explain it? It's better for you to share the testimony. Couldn't breathe properly. And she had some other stuff going on. And the one day I was preparing for the school. I was getting ready in the morning. And the Lord spoke to me. And said, Joshua, go pray over an unopened bottle of water. And when you do that, I'm going to make it heavenly medicine for Janet. And so I thought, okay, Lord, that's very strange. It's very unusual. But I'll do what you told me to do. So as soon as I got done taking care of what I've been taking care of, I walked out into the bedroom and Lincoln was there. And I went to lay my hands in obedience to the Lord, I went to lay my hands on the bottle of water. Before I even got to that bottle of water, there was, the only way I can describe it, is there was a funnel that began to go from the top into the middle and from the bottom up into the middle. There was two funnels in the bottle. And suddenly the bottle turned from being clear water into a deep purple, reddish color. Inside the unopened bottle of water. I had not even touched the bottle yet. Lincoln and I were sitting there just watching this thing. As God was literally performing a miracle for us, performing a sign for us, God said that this water would become a heavenly medicine that Janet Angel would be able to drink and she'd be cured of all her sickness. We got so excited about it. We went to tell Janet, Janet was over getting ready for the school. So we went over, we didn't take the bottle with us to the school. We left it at the hotel. We went over to the school and we told Janet Angel about it. Now, we didn't take the bottle with us because we knew if we took the bottle, all the students would try to drink it before Janet could get at it. When God gives an instruction, it's important to obey the instruction exactly how God gives it. When God says a miracle, something is for a very specific person, you need to go and be obedient. And release that miracle for that person. Hallelujah. When God tells you to do something, just go and do it in obedience to God. You know, you don't know how it's going to work out. We don't know how God's going to do the miracle. We don't know how he's going to perform the sign. We don't know how he's going to function it or make it happen. But we do know that he is the one that does it. He's the one that works it. He's the one that makes it happen. And so anyhow, I want Janet to share what happened.
So we left the bottle at the hotel. And so at the end of the day, we went back. And it's really hard to put into words when these miracles happen, because I don't think there's really a natural word that can really explain this. So he had taken some healing scriptures and started to declare healing scriptures over my body. And I drank the entire bottle of this heavenly medicine. And I don't know how to even explain when heaven's entering in that way. It was just amazing. And I could feel like there was a cleansing taking place. And I had problems breathing, had a shortness of breath. I really needed a miracle in my lungs. And right after that, everything was completely healed. My lungs were completely restored. And there were other things that I was going through that God completely took care of. And so heaven entered in a completely unusual way. There was unusual instruction, strange instruction that came. My husband, he just believed, and there came miracles out of that belief, and God is so good.
It was an instant miracle, instantly. The thing that she had been dealing with for a long time, instantly, it disappeared. And, you know, God has miracles for you today. Hallelujah. And you might say that's strange, but I tell you, the miracle that you need in your life, it's strange too. The thing that you need God to do, it is very, very strange. Because some of you are in situations where in the natural, it looks like there's no way out. Some of you are dealing with situations where it looks like there's no solution in the natural. Some of you are up against a wall, and you've been saying, I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. I want to tell you this, that God has a miracle for you, but it's going to be strange the way that it happens. But do not limit what God can do. Several years ago, Janet and I, we were still living here in London at the time, and we had a home over on Trafalgar Street, and our offices were right on the other side of this wall, over on the other side, where the bookstore is now. That was the Nuon International offices. And we've been doing a conference here at the church, and right after the conference, we were leaving to go down to California, down to Palm Springs. And that's when we were just going to be setting up our U.S. base in California. And so we had been doing the conference, and, you know, in my tiredness, I don't really like to wear rings. I don't like to wear watches. I wear it in the meetings. I wear it when I'm out. But when I'm at home, I like to take these off. I don't like to have anything on my hands. I just don't like it. And in my tiredness during the conference, some point in the conference, I took off my wedding band. I took off a pinky ring that I had, and I took off my watch. And I placed it somewhere, and I could not, after the conference was done, I could not remember where I had put my rings and my watch. And we went home to Trafalgar, and we were looking all through our apartment, everywhere. I mean, we tore that place apart looking for the rings and for the watch. We were going to California. I needed them before I left. I did not want to go to California. It was our anniversary coming up. I didn't want to be celebrating my anniversary without my wedding band. And, we were going down to California, and so we were looking all over the home, and we could not find it. We came over here to our offices. I mean, we tore that place apart. We could not find the rings or the watch anywhere. And we ended up going down to California, and we got to Palm Springs, and we celebrated our anniversary. And I remember that night very, very clearly, because we were at the restaurant, and the waiter said, oh, are you celebrating a birthday? I said, no, I'm celebrating my wedding anniversary. And he looked at me and he laughed like I was making a joke, like I was too young to be married. And I didn't have my wedding band. I couldn't prove it with my wedding band. And I just felt horrible about the whole thing. And that week, I believe it was that weekend, I was at home. We were in Palm Springs. I told you the other day that we had run out of money really, really quickly. We had taken a suitcase with us, run out of money really quickly. And it was a miracle that God provided everything that we had. But we did have a television, and we did have one chair that I could sit in. And one afternoon, Lincoln was watching early evening. Lincoln was watching a cartoon program on the television, and I was sitting in the chair. Lincoln was sitting on the floor. And he was watching this cartoon program, and I just began to doze off a little bit, and I began to dream. And in my dream, and I don't have a lot of dreams, but when I do, they're always very, very significant. God takes me places in my dream. God translates me in the spirit in my dreams. And you might be sitting there thinking, that is strange. It is. It's strange. But it's okay. Hallelujah. And if you got a problem with it, it's okay. I'm leaving tomorrow, so. But in my dream, I had this dream that I was right here at the Impact Church. I was over in our offices on the other side of the wall. And in my offices, I had this word of knowledge in the dream, as I was in my offices in the dream, to go into the back office, because at the time there was an office within the office, to go back into the office where our mail slots were located. And the mailboxes were kind of like this, and you'd have to look in and you could reach in to get your mail that way. I had a word of knowledge in the dream that my rings and my watch were back in the mail, in my mail slot. And so in the dream, I went into the office, went back in, looked in the mail slot, and I reached in and I found them and I pulled them out and I put them on my fingers, put my watch on my wrist. And all of a sudden, as I was doing this in the dream, it was a real nice dream. As I was doing it in the dream, have you ever had a dream that felt so real? As I was doing this in the dream, suddenly Lincoln's cartoon began to flare up. And, you know, I woke up suddenly, and I said, Lincoln, turn that television down. I mean, you know, it just really startled me. So turn that television down like that. When I said that, I saw my hands, and I saw that as I was sitting in California, I was wearing my wedding band, I was wearing my pinky ring, and my watch was on my wrist. I'm not talking about in a dream. I'm talking about in California when I woke up from my dream. I don't know if you heard what I said. I just about freaked out. I went back to the bedroom. Janet was back in the bedroom. Can I say it? She was back in the bedroom crying because we had ran out of all of our money. All of our money was gone. And I went back to the bedroom. I went yelling in scripture. I said, Janet, look it. The Lord just literally translated my ring and my watch. You can bet those tears disappeared, and we begin to say, God, if you can transport the ring, if you can transport the watch, you can transport a little bit of money into our bank accounts. Lord, you can transport exactly what we need to where we are right now. God, you can do anything. There is no limitation to what you can do. That's strange. It is strange. It is very, very strange. Very strange. But God loves to do strange things in order to connect us to the divine supernatural realm. Hallelujah. I tell you, we got so excited about that miracle because every miracle reflects an aspect of God's glory or dimension of his character. Every miracle reflects who he is. When he began to give me my rings in that way and the watch in that way, it was reflecting that he is Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord, my provider. It began to speak to me that, you know, Jesus is greater than St. Anthony. Any Catholic people know what I'm talking about right now. Patron saint of missing things. Jesus Christ has got you covered. When you've lost things, when things have been stolen from you, I tell you this, that Jesus Christ, he is a restorer. Hallelujah. He is the divine restorer. God gave me this revelation about time, and I shared a few little snippets of it over the last few days. That we could take dominion over time. I saw it in Genesis that God created time. And then Psalms, I saw David speaking and saying, you know, talking about God creating the sun and the moon, the stars, creating time. And then God creating, you know, the earth. And then David says, you have given mankind dominion over all of your creation, over all things. And when I saw that in Psalms, and you know, David had just got done talking about the sun and the moon, the star, and everything that represents time, marks seasons, years and days, and all that kind of stuff. I saw that God could give us dominion over time. We begin to believe it on purpose. And we begin to look for scriptures where there was dominion over time. We saw in Joshua, you know, Joshua needed to win a battle. And so he just commanded the sun and the moon to stop just for the whole day to just stand still. God gave him favor with time. I mean, time literally stopped so he could win the battle. And some of you need time to stop for you to win the battle. But about a couple years ago, we were in our home in Palm Springs. And we had just bought this brand new home. It was beautiful. And I was so excited about my man cave. I finally got a little man cave downstairs. And my toolbox, my tool bench, and everything set up all real nice. And I was down there just playing with my power tools. I don't really know how to use them. I just like the sounds. And I was down there just messing around with the stuff in my man cave. And all of a sudden, I heard the door was open through the carport and the downstairs door was open. And all of a sudden, I heard Janet screaming. And she literally rolled down the stairs. She just fell, slipped right down the stairs. And she ended up, you know, in a pile at the end of the stairs. And she had slipped and she had really hurt herself. Instantly, the Spirit of God on the inside of me began to speak out. And I said, I take you back 15 minutes in the name of Jesus. Janet looked at me. She said, what just happened? I said, you just fell down those stairs. I just heard you scream. You fell down those stairs. She said, I don't even remember it. She said, the last thing I remember, I was walking around upstairs. I said, I just took you back 15 minutes in time. There's not going to be one scratch. There's not going to be one bruise. There's not going to be anything on you. You know, there wasn't one scratch. There wasn't one bruise. There wasn't somebody falling down. It's concrete stairs. It's not, you know, nice carpeted, comfy, plush stairs. It's with concrete tiled stairs. Not one problem. A few weeks ago, we were in Stony Plain, Alberta. We were walking through the parking lot. It was really icy. They got an ice storm. The entire parking lot was covered in sheets of ice. Janet and Libby, baby Libby Lou, were at the church setting up for the conference. Link and I went back to the hotel. We were going to go inside. I was going to take them swimming. And we went inside the hotel. We're going inside the hotel. I was just a few steps ahead of Lincoln. I stepped into the lobby. And all of a sudden, I heard Lincoln crying. And Lincoln never cries. He's a really strong boy and, you know, really cool kid. And he never cries. He's not a crybaby whiny like I was. He's a whole lot better kid than I ever was. And anyhow, I heard him crying, and I turned around, and here I saw that Lincoln had literally slipped on those sheets of ice, fallen down on the ground. He had scraped up his knees. He had scraped up his hands. There was blood. There was scratches. There was scrapes. There was dirt and stones and everything. I mean, it was bad. And so I went over to him, and I remembered my first aid training. You know, when somebody falls or whatever, maybe you're not supposed to pick them up. So I asked him. I said, Lincoln, is it okay if I picked you up? He was crying. He said, yeah, why don't you pick me up? So I picked him up. And as soon as I picked him up, all of a sudden in my spirit, I said, in the name of Jesus, I take you back 5 minutes right now. Lincoln looked at me and he said, Dad, I feel better. Instantly. He said, I feel better. I said, let me see your hands. And he had scratches. He had blood. His skin had been ripped up. There was dirt and stones all over everything. He was bleeding. And I said, I just took you back 5 minutes. I said, there's not going to be any scrapes. There's not going to be any scratches. There's not going to be any blood in your hands. I walked him into the front desk, and I asked for Band-Aids because I wanted to cover the blood that was there. And the front desk lady said, oh, that's gross. I don't deal with that kind of stuff. So we went up into the hotel room. And I said, Lincoln, I said, you're going to run your hands underwater. And when you do, there's not going to be any more signs that you fell, that you slipped. There's not going to be any more injuries in your hands. And I said, on your knees, there's going to be no more injuries. Instantly, he put his hands under the water, began to wash. And every scratch, every scrape, every mark that had been in his hands from that slip disappeared. Hallelujah. And there was no sign. He had been taken back 5 minutes in time. We just took dominion over that thing in the name of Jesus. Now, when I began sharing this revelation with people, people began doing it. And there's people all over the world that as soon as something happens, they begin to say, in the name of Jesus, I take you back 5, I take you back 10 minutes, I take you back 1 hour, I take you back. I was ministering with Jason Westerfield maybe about a year and a half ago in Connecticut. I just got done sharing the revelations about time in the public corporate meeting. There was an ice storm that hit Connecticut. There was ice all over the road. A woman was driving home, got in a serious, huge accident. The ambulance came, picked her up. This woman had been in the meeting. Ambulance came, picked her up, took her to the hospital. I was up in the speaker's green room, and somebody came in and said, somebody who was in the meeting tonight got in a serious accident. She's in the hospital. And all of a sudden in my spirit, I didn't know how long it had been. I didn't know when the accident had happened. But from my spirit, I say, in the name of Jesus, I take her back 2 hours. They said to me, they said, it was about 2 hours ago that she was in that accident. They called over to the hospital. That woman who had been injured, who had been in pain, who had, you know, been in serious trauma in that accident, all of a sudden in that hospital bed, the Spirit of God came all over her. The glory touched her. She was completely healed. She was completely made whole. There was not one problem. She was able to go home from the hospital. Come on, somebody. Strange. It's strange. It's strange. The world doesn't understand. It's 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27 says that God will use the foolish things to confound the wise. It's strange. It's very unusual. It's strange. But in Acts 19, I want you to look at this. And this is where I'm trying to bring you this morning. Because God has something that he wants to release for you. God has miracles he wants to do for you. We've been talking about a flood of miracles all weekend, and there's been some tremendous healing miracles that have happened. There's three people that I know of that were received the baptism in the Holy Spirit for the first time and with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and God's released gold, and there was a jewel that was found, and there's different things that God's been doing in the atmosphere. But look at this. In Acts 19, verse 11, it says that God did extraordinary, some translations say unusual, we could even say strange miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. That's strange. That's unusual. This is an unusual miracle. This is an extraordinary miracle. There was things, handkerchiefs, there was aprons, there was articles of clothing, there was pieces of material that were taken to the Apostle Paul, so that as these things came into contact with his atmosphere, because he was an atmosphere, as they came into contact with his presence, the Spirit of God, the glory of God was on him to such a degree that there was a transference of the anointing. It was a point of contact for miracles to be released. It was a point of contact for God to do extraordinary, unusual, strange things. So that illnesses, people who had been dealing with sickness, disease, infirmity, all of a sudden those illnesses left their body. People who had been dealing with being oppressed and depressed and possessed by demons and by devils, all of a sudden those spirits left their body, left their spirit. All of a sudden they were completely set free. And God did it through a point of contact. You see, God used that fish to bless that woman with sunglasses. God used a fish to bring a financial blessing in the Bible. God used that water to bless Janet Angela and to release her from sickness. God turned water into wine to bless many at the banquet feast. God transported my rings and my watch, use them as a point of contact to show me that there's a possibility of translation in the spirit, that whatever you need, God's got a way of getting it to you. God used my words as I spoke and said, I take authority. I take you back 15 minutes. I take you back 5 minutes. I take you back 2 hours. God used my words as a point of contact for the miracle to be released. And here in Acts 19, we see that God uses pieces of cloth, pieces of material. Why? For the sick to be healed. For those that have battled demon spirits to be set free. God can use a piece of cloth to minister salvation to your home, to your family, to your household, to your husband, to your wife, to your children. God can use anything when people begin to put their faith in the reality that he's a miracle-working God. He uses strange things to connect us with the divine supernatural. Hallelujah. This morning I want to do this. I saw these prayer cloths sitting here all weekend. This morning when I woke up, Lord, I had not a good idea. I had a God idea. The difference between a good idea and a God idea, good ideas sometimes work. God ideas always work. And I had a God idea this morning. That this morning, as these cloths have been laying here, I don't know how long they've been laying here, but they've been soaking in the glory, soaking in the anointing, soaking in the atmosphere, soaking under that miracle presence. That this morning, Janet, Angela, and I, and Pastor Carl, all lay our hands on these cloths. And then this morning, I want to give every single person here that wants one, everybody that has faith to believe, I want to give you one of these cloths, just like Acts 19, 11, and 12, believing that God can do unusual, extraordinary, strange miracles where you need them most. Some of you need a healing miracle. Some of you need a miracle in your home, in your body. If you need a salvation miracle for your husband or your wife, you ought to take one of these cloths and just slip it under their pillow. And you know how much time people sleep at night? You let them lay in that atmosphere, in that miracle presence, hallelujah. You just let them lay in that glory, hallelujah. If you need a miracle in your body, you can pin this thing in your coat or your pants or your shirt. You can. God will show you what to do. Some of you need it in your wallet. But God will show you what to do. But I want to say this, that there is nothing that is too difficult with God. All things are possible.